everybody. Welcome to the Bills Wire Daily Podcast. I am your host, Jeremy Uhas. This podcast and all of our past podcasts and future podcasts are proudly presented to you by USA Today Sports Media Group. Want to remind everybody again that they can subscribe and listen to our podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. We're all over. So make sure that you subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. We appreciate all the feedback and really all of our guests that have joined us so far, as we're into almost a month, believe it or not, already of doing this Monday through Friday daily at Bills Wire. We're excited to bring you this daily podcast as just kind of an updated refresher with good conversation with fans, with our analysis here at Bills Wire, with players, and we're just really excited to be bringing this to you. And once the season does ramp up here and we're into regular season action, I only expect our coverage and our podcast to get that much more in depth, and we're just really pumped for 2018 and what we're doing over here at Bills Wire. Also, make sure you check out Nick Wotan and Justin DeLoros and all of the guys over there, Rich Kowalski, all of our articles and all of our contributors over at Bills Wire are doing a fantastic job keeping you updated with the latest Bills news and analysis. So kudos to those guys. It's a pleasure working with them, and we hope that you guys on Twitter, on other social platforms, or like I said, wherever you're listening to this podcast, we just really appreciate you guys tuning in and or reading our content at Bills Wire. We are inching closer to Sunday's kickoff with the Cincinnati Bengals, and joining me on this episode is The Athletic's Joe Goodberry. Joe joined us earlier in the spring to talk about the Bengals, but we wanted to get him back on, obviously, with the matchup approaching. So thank you so much, Joe, for joining me and coming back on with us to get us prepped for the Bengal-Bills matchup at New Era Field on Sunday.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Last time was what, draft season, or was it right when they signed AJ McCarron? What was that?
I think it was, it was in the spring, wasn't it? It's been a little while. We went to a daily podcast over here, just checking back. I think it was in May, I want to say. So it was several weeks ago for sure, and just catching up on the roster. I'm sure a lot has changed with the Bengals since then. And for a lot of Bengals fans that will be in attendance at that contest on Sunday, and just for Bills fans looking at the opponent that day, it's a pleasure having you on, and it's always good to catch up and see what's going on the other side, and see what's going on with their depth chart here in preseason.
Yeah, and especially, I think everyone, even Bengals fans, are excited to watch Josh Allen, and I know Bills fans are, but you know, I don't know if you feel differently than you maybe did a couple months ago, but I know it seems like a lot of analysts are changing their opinion on him real quickly, huh?
Yeah, I was one of the, I don't consider myself an analyst by any means, but I was very high on him and probably one of the very few people that was excited when the Bills drafted Josh Allen. That was just my personal preference out of the three. I would have been okay with Baker Mayfield too. I think he's going to be a solid QB1 in this league, but if it was between Darnold or Allen, for me, I wanted the guy with a little bit more upside. And for me, it was always Allen at that point in the draft. And when they got him, I was ecstatic that they got him. And I think he's kind of done what I expected from what I saw. And I'm not at least best, like, surprised by what I'm seeing. So he's done everything that I thought. But I think, yeah, he's definitely turned a lot of heads. But it's still early, you know, the teams aren't game planning, and it's still preseason. He's got a long way to go.
Still, you know, just being consistent. For me, when I was watching him, I watched him the last 2 weeks just to, you know, as he's on and I'm in the area, so I'm interested to see what he does. You know, just going through his reads quicker from week one to week two, and then both touchdown throws that I'm thinking of that really stood out, the one against the Panthers where he had an out route from the slot and then the guy going up the sideline.
Right.
And he pulled that corner down on that out route and then hit it between the corner and the safety with a rocket ball, you know, 90 miles an hour in there. And that was a fantastic touchdown that not every quarterback can do. And then the one last week where he slides in the pocket, then steps up, keeping his eyes up the whole time, and then hitting the receiver in the back of the end zone. Both of those are, like, plays, as a Bengals fan, we don't get that from Andy Dalton at all, either one of those.
Yeah. No, when he was coming, I think the biggest, you know, attribute obviously was his arm coming out, and a lot of people were were knocking him coming to Buffalo because a lot of analysts were saying, well, he needs to throw in the cold weather and, you know, deal with the elements. And a lot of people kind of shooed that off as a non-factor and kind of overblown. But I really do see that as something that could make a huge difference, especially in the NFL when games come down to the last drive or quarter four and you need to drive. And if your team has a guy who can still throw the ball in the wind while the other team can't, that's just a huge advantage. So I do think arm strength is definitely a huge asset for him, no doubt. But I also think his ability to escape the pocket and kind of move, and you saw that against the Cleveland Browns last week with his touchdown pass to Streeter in the back of the end zone, just being able to buy some time. And yeah, I think Andy Dalton's, you know, your typical drop back quarterback. He's going to read the field, and it'll be interesting to see the reception Bills fans give him this week. So yeah, I think there's definitely going to be something about that. Yeah, I think it should be, well, you know, definitely something's going to happen for sure. I'm almost positive fans will probably give him an ovation. But I wonder if the team acknowledges the Andy Dalton or the Bengals in any way.
Yeah, I wonder that also. And I was going to say, I don't think Andy Dalton has ever gotten a standing ovation at Paul Brown Stadium. I don't think he ever has. And it's not that, you know, I think most fans do like him and appreciate him, especially for the person he is. But,
sure.
You know, there's been so many shortcomings in his 7, going on 8 years now that the, you know, frustration has boiled over, and sometimes it's aimed directly at the quarterback, which everyone can understand. If you're not winning, the quarterback's gonna, and coach is going to get a lot of blame. I think actually at All-Star, the All-Star game for at the Major League Baseball was in Cincinnati, I want to say in 2014, and he was at the Celebrity All-Star game, you know, and they're doing the Home Run Derby Challenge and whatever, and they booed him there. So if you can think about that, and the opposite going to happen in Buffalo this weekend,
yeah,
that's pretty wild.
Well, I think they're going to be in a pretty difficult, you know, division. I think the AFC North is going to be pretty challenging. I guess get to the Bengals in terms of just their preseason so far. I mean, it's been a while since you and I chatted last. What's, I guess, the bigger storylines? I saw, you know, George Iloka was released. Yeah. But just, I'm looking at two of their defensive line with their depth, and looks like they have some studs up front there, but the linebacking core is missing. Obviously, Burfict with the suspension. So just, what are the biggest storylines in the Bengals side this preseason?
Yeah, and I think you touched on the first one, I would say, is that cutting a couple of veterans, for me, cutting George Iloka at safety and cutting Brandon LaFell at wide receiver. I think both are signs of the team wanting to lean on some of the young players that they really feel strong about. At safety, it's Jesse Bates, who they drafted in the second round out of Wake Forest. And for a team like the Bengals, they don't play their rookies. They don't play their guys early in their careers. They like to slow roast them and give them that red shirt year. So for them to say, George Iloka, you're out of here, you've been a good, solid starter for us. He's taken more snaps on defense than anybody in the last 2 years on the defense. His contract was manageable. He was still a solid starter. But they said, we're going with this guy because we think he's that good and he's played that well so far in preseason. And you know, that's just something the Bengals don't do. And not even the save money portion of it, where they said it was merely financial because he lost the starting job, you can't pay your backup $6 million. Even that, they haven't done that often, where they're just going to cut a guy. So I'm hoping it's a sign of things to change. And then the other one with Brandon LaFell being cut at receiver, after drafting John Ross number 9 overall last year and Tyler Boyd 3 years ago in the second round, they really haven't gotten the production from those guys. You didn't get a catch from John Ross last year as a rookie, but they give them guys fresh starts. They bring them in this year, and giving young guys an opportunity is something this team hasn't done in the past. So I think a lot of people are excited that maybe this means a sign of new things to come for the Bengals. And then you talked about the defensive line. I think it's the deepest unit on the team. I think maybe after this year, many people around the league will probably say it's one of the best defensive lines in the league. Not only do you have perennial Pro Bowlers and Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap, but the best pass rusher on the team is Carl Lawson on the other edge spot, fourth rounder from last year. Technically refined, technically sound, guy who's got a variety of moves, wins with speed and power. And then behind him, Jordan Willis, third round last year. Sam Hubbard, third round this year. Both guys have played really well in the preseason. I think the defensive line is deep. Next to Geno Atkins is Andrew Billings and Ryan Glasgow, two guys they drafted the last couple years at defensive tackle. Billings is having a great camp, great preseason. They think he's the other guy next to Atkins that's going to be the nose tackle, and Glasgow backing up Atkins. And they signed Chris Baker, who was with the Redskins, played with the Bucks last year, had a down year, was released. Mm-hmm. They picked him up as veteran depth. But I think the defensive line is really going to be at the strength of this team and really what carries the defense.
How's Preston Brown fit in? Just kind of steady. You know, I think we talked about him a little bit, obviously, with the playing with the Bills. Is he just kind of doing his thing at middle linebacker?
That's it. He is who he is. He's a steady guy. He's going to make tackles, but he's not the most athletic guy. He's getting beat to the corner sometimes. He's getting beat in coverage. That's just who he is. I'm interested to see if they play him as much as the Bills did in their nickel package. The Bills really didn't have a choice. You know, they kind of had to because they didn't have many cover linebackers. But the Bengals have drafted those guys recently. I wonder when Burfict gets back if Preston Brown's going to be an every down guy or just a base 4-3 inside guy.
With Burfict out, what's kind of the plan to replace him, or is it just playing more nickel, or what's kind of their mask for him out of the lineup?
They've always been a heavy nickel team, and at linebacker, if you were in their base 4-3, it would be Burfict at weak side, Nick Vigil at strong side, a guy they drafted 3 years ago who they still like, Preston Brown inside. And the nickel right now, it's Brown and Vigil. I think when Burfict comes back, it may be Burfict and Vigil. But the one guy they drafted last year in the fifth round out of Oklahoma, Jordan Evans, super athletic. They wanted him to be more physical, more of a downhill guy coming from a big open conference. And he's really responded and been able to do that. He's going to replace Burfict for the first 4 weeks. If he continues to play well, I wonder if he can carve a role for himself going forward, even when Burfict gets back.
Cordy Glenn, just an update on him. How's he fit in so far?
So far, so good. He's been healthy, which I think is really what the key is with him. When he's healthy, he's good. And he's definitely an upgrade of what they had. I think going from Andrew Whitworth to nothing last year and Cedric Opoihi, and then like Clint Bowling, Eric Winston, Jake Fisher, just a revolving door at tackle, was hard to swallow as a Bengals fan and anyone watching them. Going back to Cordy Glenn is kind of like, okay, we're not as good as we were with Whitworth, but the team is feeling really good about left tackle finally.
One of the, I guess, interesting fantasy, you know, areas on the Bengals, but just, you know, fun guys to pick up on your fantasy team is the running back position, and Mixon and Bernard and even, you know, Mark Walton coming in. How has that trio looked, and maybe a couple more guys in that running back stable? They're also like a really fun kind of group to watch if you're looking at the Bengals.
And it's good, right? You know, I like having two young guys in Walton and Mixon, but Gio Bernard is really the forgotten guy a lot of times in that mix because he's still so good. He may be limited in terms of size and how much they can actually use him, but as a third down back and pass protection and in the receiving game, he's good. He's the heart of their offense many times. And, getting Mixon up to full speed now that they'll finally commit to him and be the number one back because they had Jeremy Hill on the roster last year. And the Bengals, like I said about rookies, they're slow to bring those guys along, and they did that with Mixon. They tried to have like a three-headed monster at running back, and that never works. So now it seems like they're more streamlined to Mixon's the guy, and they're still going to use Geo heavily. And it looks like Mark Walton so far, his biggest impact may be on special teams. So if that's the case, I still like this unit. I think it's really good. I wonder if the Bengals will be able to run block good enough to really maximize the talent they have back there. So far this preseason, they haven't been able to do it. So I think they're going to have to get creative and involve these guys in the passing game to really maximize them. But the good thing about it is Gio and Joe Mixon are excellent receivers. And it's not like before when it was Jeremy Hill and Gio, and you kind of knew if Gio was in the game, Gio Bernard, you're going to be in a passing set, and if Hill's in the game, you're going to be in a high formation, probably running power out of it. Mm-hmm. So now you can put either guy in there, and you're really not tipping it off for the defense, and that part I appreciate the most.
We talked about this too with LaFell exiting and him being let go gives guys, young guys like John Ross, a chance. And just the receiver position, AJ Green looked healthy, Boyd obviously returns, and then the tight end position, you know, Eifert being a good pass catcher. This receiving group, if I want to lump in the tight ends with that, with those guys, is pretty formidable also. And Dalton doesn't have really an excuse for the weapons around him.
I agree. I think the weapons are as good as they've been around him. I think back to 2015 when it was Green and Marvin Jones, Mohamed Sanu, and then, you know, Jeremy Hill was still good at the time. Gio Bernard, Rex Burkhead was at running back. The offensive line was a top five unit. At Tyler Eifert at tight end. That, you know, those weapons were serious. And Andy Dalton had a, you know, it could have been an MVP type season if he didn't break his thumb at the end of the year. And I look at it now and I say, yeah, it could explode the same way. I'm honestly, John Ross, he was a top 10 pick. He could come out and just tear it up this year. Tyler Boyd, being a second round pick as your slot receiver, he could be the guy who they thought he was and maybe get 80 targets and just be a solid possession guy who you can trust to get open on third downs when you need it. And then Tyler Eifert, if he's healthy, he's as good as a receiving tight end as there is in the game. And it's not just Eifert, too, because they really like Tyler Croft as a backup. They really like C.J. Uzomah as a backup. Two different guys. One guy's more of an inline blocker. One guy's more of a move tight end. But they like both of them. Croft had 7 touchdowns last year. So the other side of that coin is Ross could get hurt again. Eifert could get hurt again. If Cordy Glenn gets hurt again, this offense gets really shaky really quick. And they've built a really volatile team, especially in terms of the weapons around Andy Dalton. If they're there and they're healthy and they all hit, it's going to be exciting. If, you know, they stumble along the way with injuries, especially, again, we're going to be sitting here like, man, I cannot watch this offense for the third year in a row.
Any ill effects from the Billy Price injury pre-draft, or does he look pretty solid at center?
The only thing is he missed, you know, those 500 snaps in minicamp. And like rookie minicamp and then OTAs, where he really needed to get the reps snapping to a quarterback under center. At Ohio State, they play out of shotgun 99.9% of the time, and Billy Price only played center for 1 year. So the experience isn't really there for him to really jump in and go full speed. He's had some bad snaps in camp and a couple in preseason. I believe he'll get it ironed out because that's kind of the guy he is, and he's the kind of guy who's going to stay and work hard and make sure he perfects it really hard on himself. But at the same time, it hasn't been, you know, hit the ground running because of that injury just delayed some of the snaps that he probably should have had during the spring.
All right, last couple for you. Marvin Lewis going into preseason game number 3, he's going to want to accomplish what Sunday?
Everything. The one thing is, in week 4 of the preseason, they play the Colts, right?
Right.
And they play the Colts in week 1 of the regular season.
I was going to bring that up to you in a little bit, but that's interesting.
Yeah. So this is it for preseason. Anything you're trying to accomplish in terms of, like, scheme looks or getting looks at guys that are already on the roster, this is it for you because you're not going to want to show anything week 4. So if you've got something you need to work on scheme-wise or you know, in the playbook, this is it for the Bengals. And I think they'd really like to get the ground game going. I think they really would like to see who are our starting offensive linemen at the right guard and right tackle position, because those are the two that are up for grabs still. Even though once you get into week 3, you should know so that you have those last 2 weeks to prepare for week 1 and get those guys gelled together. So it'll be interesting to see who starts those games, how they play, and probably finalize it there. But I think just health from there, obviously. Every team's going to say the same thing. But because of that week 4 matchup, I think it changes this week 3 here, where the Bengals may press their starters into the second half and not play them at all in week 4.
It's so strange, right, to play week 4.
I've never heard of anything like that.
And then they're on the road at Lucas Oil Stadium. Yeah, week 1, really bizarre. That's going to be, I mean, preseason games already are tough to really sit down and watch. But that game, oh boy, the ratings for that will be interesting.
I mean, what would you do? You just run the ball, high formation power every single play. A play you're not going to do, you know, in week 1, and just get us out of this game.
Yeah, and Sam, I'm really surprised the NFL scheduled it that way, but they did. So, well, that's good for us. I mean, on Sunday we should see, you know, with Josh Allen starting and with Cincinnati, like you mentioned, probably wants to get as much work as they can with, you know, at the same time trying to avoid injury. So, yeah, I would expect, you know, a lot of the starters to play on both sides for a little bit, which should make for a fun game to watch.
Definitely. I mean, and again, like I said, I'm excited to see Allen, not only because it didn't seem like the Bills named their starter until, what, game day the last 2 weeks? And then now this week was like, here's Josh Allen from Monday, you know, and he's going to start. So they're like kind of like giving him the opportunity to prepare all week as the starter. So like each week they've increased his test, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's here's the full test. And you're going to go against a team that's got a good pass rush, got some good corners, you know, throw against William Jackson's really tough. You know, here we go. And this team's going to probably try and put it all out there. I'm talking the Bengals for week three because of that reason, because of the week four game. So great test for him. I'm excited to see if he responds. And, you know, from the Bills side there. But, yeah, for the Bengals, as long as they get out healthy and get the run game going a little bit, I'll be happy with this one.
Yeah, I think, you know, everyone in Buffalo is obviously excited too. And Greg Williams against Cleveland, when Josh Allen went up against them, they didn't hold anything back either and came out and said that they were scheming a little bit, stunting, and doing a lot more than you would normally see in a preseason. And he handled that well. So, yeah, this is just another test for him. But, Joe Goodberry, thank you so much for coming on this this edition of the podcast. We'll catch up down the line, and appreciate your time.